99 years ago today, my mother-in-law, Helen, was born in Andersonville, the Swedish neighborhood in Chicago. During the Depression, she and her siblings often spent their summers with relatives in Port Wing, Wisconsin, where Helen met my father-in-law. They wrote to each other during World War II and married after the war. Russ and I started dating the summer before our senior year in high school, and from the very start, his parents made me feel like a part of the family. Russ told his mom to buy me binoculars and a field guide for Christmas in 1974, but she did much more than just that to get me started birding. She took me to lots of birding spots in Chicago, such as the Morton Arboretum, the Little Red Schoolhouse and Crabtree Nature Centers, Baker's Lake, and various forest preserves. She never kept a life list of her own birds, but she was wonderfully happy whenever I got a lifer. After she and Russ's dad bought their place in Port Wing, Wisconsin, during the time they were fixing it up and then after they moved there, I'd come visit to take long walks through the best habitats, and she was always ready to sit down and hear about the birds I'd seen and heard. She also kept me apprised of all the birds she was getting at her feeders. I was never a very good day-to-day cook, so for the most part, Russ took over that responsibility. I very clearly did not fit his mom's idea of a housewife, but she never seemed to expect me to be one. As far as domestic skills go, she considered me her adorably ditzy daughter-in-law, and over the years I could sometimes see a little smile on her face when I messed up some simple homey task. I probably had that same smile on my face when she misidentified a bird. We were wonderfully well suited, fond of each other not despite one another's shortcomings, but somehow because of them. Russ's dad died in 1992. Helen continued to live in her house in Port Wing until 2012. I stayed with her 24/7 at a few points while she was in her 80s and early 90s when she was sick and when she had a crippling case of bursitis in 2012. That time I spent one full day away doing a big day fundraiser starting and ending in Washburn. I got back to her house after 10 p.m. when she'd normally be heading to bed, but as I came in the door, she went straight to the kitchen and cooked me up a dinner. I tried to convince her that I was perfectly capable of making my own meal, but despite the pain she was in and her inability to stand straight, she smiled with that familiar twinkle in her eye. I'd spent my day in my own milieu, but now I was on her turf, back to being her ditzy daughter-in-law. Little by little, her body was growing more frail, and dementia was setting in, so we brought her to live with us in Duluth in December 2012. Over these past years, she's lost more and more memories and become increasingly detached from some of her old interests. She hardly ever looks out at the birds in our feeders anymore, but she can still play and win at Uno when our family gathers at Christmas, and she still figures out some of the Wheel of Fortune puzzles before I do. I do physical therapy exercises with her each afternoon and watch various movies and TV shows with her every evening. It's been very hard for this supremely self-sufficient woman to find herself being taken care of, which makes me sad. But she hasn't entirely lost her spark of independence. Russ had to go out of town a couple of times in the past couple of months, which meant I cooked our dinners every night. When she sat down waiting for me to serve, she got that familiar twinkle in her eye, just knowing her ditzy daughter-in-law would do something wrong. And sure enough, I'd forget her toast or her margarine or overcook the vegetables or mess up somehow. It doesn't take much to make her happy. Helen may be 99 years old today, but one thing she will always be able to count on is her ditzy daughter-in-law. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.